Well, I am so very grateful to be with you today. I'm sorry I could not have been with you the last two Sundays, but thank you to Wesley, to Sandra, and everyone who led the morning prayer services. I have to tell you, I truly missed y'all. And I thank you for your prayers, your cards, your flowers, your thoughtfulness, your visits, and your calls. This St. Andrew's family is truly remarkable, but I don't have to tell you that, do I? Y'all know that, because you've been family longer than I've been part of your family, but I do believe that we've been meant to be together, and I do want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. During our Wednesday night Christian education, we've been studying the Gospel of John. It's been a wonderful time of learning more about Jesus, about his divinity, and his earthly ministry. Well, today's gospel is from the Apostle John, and we're in the most interesting chapter, chapter 14. At the very beginning of this chapter, which takes place in the upper room on what we call Maundy Thursday, the night before Jesus dies, he tells his apostles that his Father's house has many rooms, and he's going to prepare a place for them. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Well, this statement is leading to one of the cornerstone beliefs, a place where the rubber meets the road. And it did take us and many congregations to leave their former churches because of that. Thomas asked the Lord, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And it's here that Jesus makes this most important statement, which we all know. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus is the perfect reflection of God the Father. We are made to be reflections of God, as we were made to be in his image and likeness. But our image is tarnished because of what took place in the garden. Jesus' reflection, his image of Jesus, is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Isn't it interesting that the first two words are "I am"? The very words that the burning bush spoke to Moses when he said, "Who shall I say sent me?" And he said, "I am who I am." In Greek, it's ego eimi, the very same words, "I am." There's no debate here. He is the way, not one of many ways. And if anyone says he is one of many ways, then they do not believe that Jesus is truthful. Famous Anglican author C.S. Lewis, you all know him, whether you know him or not, if you've ever seen or heard of the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all the other books and movies, fantastic. He wrote those, and he at one time, believe it or not, was an atheist, a solid atheist who wrote science fiction. And then the Lord touched his heart, and Jesus became a part of his life. And he wrote about no one else. The Screwtape Letters. So many other things. But he wrote, he said this about Jesus. He said, "Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he is Lord." Well, I for one believe that Jesus' words are absolute truth. And therefore he is Lord. There's much more that happens that night before Jesus is arrested. Jesus is meeting any doubts that the apostles might have straight on when he tells them, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And then he caps that off by saying, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. For 3 years, these 12 people have been following him around like puppy dogs and witnessing miracle after miracle after healing, walking on the water, calming the storms, so many things that took place. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name. Now, we need to understand that that just doesn't mean tagging on to the end of a prayer in Jesus' name. To anything that we might think of, however selfish or silly or maybe even harmful. The term name is supposed to reveal the character. Praying in Jesus' name means that as we get to know who Jesus is, we get drawn into his life, love, and sense of purpose. Then we'll begin to see what needs to be done, what we should be aiming at, and what resources are needed to do it. I'm preaching to the choir, folks, when I'm talking about this, because without a hesitation, you walked into the wilderness away from a church, and I don't want to belabor that point, but you started writing your own history as the body of Christ, seeing what needed to be done, putting pews where there were none, bringing them in late at night. Doug was telling me yesterday about that. I'd heard about it, but he was here. Hearing about it from an eyewitness as somebody who put his back to the plow, it's absolutely amazing. Gathering week after week, when your priest is sick in the hospital, what do? You don't close the doors. You have a senior warden that says, I'm going to do what's necessary. We're going to meet together and we're going to have morning prayer. Not 1 week, but 2 weeks. And by the numbers, y'all came. How glorious that is. When we see Jesus as who he is, drawn into his life, love, and sense of purpose, we then get to see what needs to be done and what needs to happen, or as Wesley would say, to get her done. When we ask, it will then be in Jesus' name and to his glory, and through that to the glory of the Father. And when that happens, we should never doubt Jesus said anything. He said it. And he means it. When he said, ask anything in my name, he means it. Today's Holy Gospel begins right after this verse, in verse 15 to 21, when Jesus tells them further of his relationship with them and the Father. And it gives them a new incredible promise. Jesus says, if you love me, and you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen the wind? Think about it. Oh, you see the effects of the wind, but can you see the wind? You can watch the forecast and tell you the winds are going to be 60 miles an hour. You can see the trees go back and forth. You can see branches fall off. But do you see the wind? Same with the Holy Spirit. And ironically, the word for spirit in Hebrew is ruach. Ruach means wind. The ruach hakodesh means the Holy Spirit, the holy wind. When Jesus breathed on the apostles in John chapter 20, you didn't see his breath because he wasn't in New York during the winter. or in a cold ice box. But you don't see those things, but you know they're there. We know the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is in us. We see the works of the Holy Spirit. Remember that these words that Jesus spoke to them about the Holy Spirit were spoken on the night that he was betrayed, arrested, and denied three times. And so he gives the apostles warnings and promises of what's to come, both bad and incredibly marvelous. Jesus has told the disciples, the apostles, many times that he's going to die and be raised up. But now he's telling them that in spite of his death, they will never be alone. He's not going to leave them as orphans. Jesus assures them that his Spirit will be with them. When the Counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Ironically, when the Holy Spirit lit upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, all their fears, all their doubts disappeared. They washed away, and each one of these guys went out into the world to preach the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. We heard about Philip talking to the eunuch. And he said, how can I know? Nobody's told me. And so he described who Jesus is, and he came to the Lord, and then Philip vanished. These apostles, these 11 who were left after the betrayal by Judas, these 11 disciples, they chose a new one called Matthias. They went out into the world and they faced death. They would not have been brave enough to face death if they did not have the Holy Spirit and know the truth. Jesus knew what was coming in his own life. He knew that that night would find his arrest, his trial, his execution, and then 3 days later, his resurrection. But before he left his disciples to carry out God's plan to reconcile his people to himself, he wanted them to understand that they would never find themselves abandoned. Never. This would be his last chance with them together to make clear to them before he left that they would be cared for. He promised that his Holy Spirit would live within them as the epitome of God's presence. Jesus offered them the wonderful gift of his comforter, his counselor, his helper to take with them through their trials. His blessings are founded on his promises. Jesus has pledged to come back to his people and to answer when we call on him. The counselor, the helper that Jesus promised, has long since come and taken up residence in our hearts, continually teaching us what God wants and bringing peace to our souls. When that temple veil was torn in two, it was a sign that believers would now have direct access to God himself in the person of the promised Holy Spirit. We as believers and followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit's presence in our hearts. And we will one day share in Jesus' glorious presence for all eternity. Without Jesus in our lives, everyday problems and challenges would appear to be huge, unreachable mountains. It's funny, as I was witnessing while I was in the hospital bed, as people would come in, witness to me, and I would witness to them, we often said, how do people make it without Jesus? How do they get by? How do people react to the words that they might have cancer, or that they need to have surgery, or even worse, they need to have a catheter put in? Without Jesus, it's incredible. Without Jesus in our lives, we would be at the mercy of this cruel world. When we give our lives to Jesus, we receive the kind of hope that gives us strength as we're empowered to put our daily struggles into perspective and into his loving hands. We don't need to feel worried or afraid when we know that we have Almighty God walking with us on our life's journey. Before Jesus went to the cross and ultimately to the Father, he gave us these words that I leave you in closing. Now I am going to him who sent me, Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world, Satan, now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Isn't it wonderful to know that we belong to Jesus? We are his, and he is ours. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.